This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 33 for December 4th, 2005. Welcome to back to Pixel Core. We're doing TWiT in studio mainly because Bob Heil sent us a care package of microphones, and I just had to show this off.
Yeah, Leo's got this new mic. This is kind of like he's in pig heaven. It's unbelievable.
This is why I got into radio 30 years ago, just for this one moment. Thank you, Bob.
If anybody has one of those old RCA mics that they use in the studio, we probably should collect it for you and give it to you as a gift one of these days.
One of these days. You know,
send me a note, Dvorak.org.
I'll give you some information that might help you with that. My 30th year in broadcasting and my 50th birthday are both next year, a year from
now. That's perfect timing.
It'd be a good time to do that.
Yeah. It's a big old condenser.
Dip it in
big
gold.
Big tube thing.
Let me introduce the TWiTs, ladies and gentlemen. Obviously, John C. Dvorak is here. Also sitting to his right, Robert Herron from PC Magazine.
Hello.
Also from Digital Life Television, which is going great guns now that Patrick's back from Baja.
Seriously.
Patrick Norton is also
Patrick
here.
Patrick Norton's always on vacation.
I learned that from you.
We saw how important he was to the production.
From the best.
You could only do a 3-minute show while he was gone? What's that all about? I'm going to be gone next week. Maybe we should do a 1-minute TWiT.
I left.
Really?
What was the 3-minute show?
That was the one where I was like, hey, I'm going to be gone. We're going to do more shows next week.
We're not gone.
I got some questions for us. Kick us an email. We got huge. Basically, you asked a bunch of questions to the viewers about what they wanted.
So you got more response with doing the 3-minute show? Is that what you're saying?
No, we asked them. We specifically targeted
him.
We did 3 minutes of like.
He did.
Please send us an email answering these specific questions about how you want to receive
DL.TV. That was the week I was down
in
Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's why you couldn't do a show. Also here from Pixel Core, Mr. Alex Lindsay, who has a gift for all of the TWiT Army members. We'll talk about that a little later on. We also got a little gift for all of the panelists today. This is, I presume he gave this to us for a plug, so let's give him the plug. It's called Droid Maker. Tell us, what is this?
I actually asked for it. Michael Rubin used to work at Lucasfilm back in the, he was the original video droid demo guy. And so he was at Lucasfilm, a long time ago, and he persuaded Lucasfilm to let him write this book about not so much the movies, but how all the technology came together. And so, and the only reason I asked for it for everyone because he was talking at an event I was at, and it was just fantastic.
I can't wait to read
all these stories about the Pixar machine and all the techie stuff that George brought to life.
He didn't autograph it.
I had one.
You know where my son is right now?
I didn't know who was going
to
be here. So.
At an 11-year-old birthday party where they've rented all 9 Star Wars movies and they're going to show them sequentially.
Woo. That's going to be a long
Can
party.
You imagine anything worse?
It's only 6.
Lord of the Rings.
There's only 6?
Yeah.
No, actually. Lord of the Rings, actually.
He didn't do all 3. He didn't
Lord
do a trilogy of trilogies?
No, he did 3.
Oh, that last
more.
One.
Oh, all right. Well, that's not
that
so
last
bad.
One.
It's a mere 15 hours.
Oh, and it sounds miserable.
You still have to get through episode 1, which is just...
Is he going to do it in order from episode 1 through?
They're going to do it in chronological order. So
when they were released?
Or the
chronological order of the story?
Now, see, we're doing exactly what we're not supposed to do.
I'm talking to him. What is this?
Not a cocktail party, guys.
Okay, we're going to do this one in surround sound.
That'd
be a great idea. Do a surround sound radio broadcast where we were around and the person sits in the middle and it's like they're in the conversation.
We can do that. We were going to do stereo.
We should do it. We'll do a version of that.
Yeah, the Pixel Works guys are over here. The sound guy's going, oh my God, this guy's nuts.
No, we can
no,
do five.
No,
one. There is a
stop him from talking.
There's a 5.1 podcast. Somebody's doing one.
It's just a pan. It's just panning the stuff. It sounds awesome. We did some internal tests. We just haven't put it out. So we can definitely.
The problem with it is that this file literally is 5 times bigger, right?
No, it's just twice.
Oh, stereo.
Well, it's just stereo.
Oh, you
stereo
do.
Sound
you do
great.
A binaural.
Sound...
Yeah, it's a little nerdy. Forget I even mentioned it.
We did launch a couple of. We launched one new podcast, and we're going to launch another new podcast. We've been very busy. Amber's Inside the Net. Amber MacArthur, my co-host on Call for Help. She's doing Inside the Net, which is a look at Web 2.0, web services, that kind of stuff. And that was debuted at number one. On iTunes in the first day.
Does that mean you're going to ditch us now?
Yeah, that's it. I'm through with you. She's a lot cuter. No. And then, actually, John and I did a trial of a new show. We're still working out the kinks on this one. It's your idea, though.
I was going to say, you guys actually did this podcast you've been talking about for, what, 22 weeks?
No, not the podcast we were talking about for 22 weeks. We're still talking about that one. This is a new show that we're which means, you know, that's typical. No, this is another show. This is where we got together with Larry Lessig and we discussed the Google case, and the show's called Triangulation, which is three guys. Here's the idea.
Three guys, one topic.
Three guys, one topic, but three guys that are in kind of agreement because, you know, these shows that are these debate shows where you have artificial, you know, dichotomies, which, oh, you know, yes, because you're a George Bush guy and not because you're a Democrat, you know, these kinds of phony baloney.
All you liberals, right. The way you act, you liberals, you don't think.
Exactly.
It's all heat, no light.
And so what we want to do is try to do a show where you, which is kind of what we do here, which is you build on the total combined knowledge of everybody involved. You know, like when we do Twit, we have five, six guys here, and nobody knows everything or even the whole pieces of all the puzzles, but combined, it's kind of interesting. So it's the true educational software or educational broadcasting model that was when broadcasting was invented. And when the FCC formed, it was to promote this kind of thing. We're doing it.
Yeah, because nobody wants to do all light, no heat.
This is so cute because you look like – yeah, look at you. You're gleaming. It's like you two sound like Pacifica Radio. No, this is the perkiest I've ever seen in a decade. This is beyond.
Tell them about the other podcast you want to do, or you want to keep that a secret?
I don't know. What was it? Oh, we're gonna. Oh, yeah, we have a potential wine and food podcast, or probably just a restaurant review podcast. I've got a bunch of people lined up. We want to do a website. We'll spin a podcast out of it.
Throbbing Gristle, it's going to be called.
Actually, that's a band.
Oh, that's right. We can't use that. I knew there was a better reason.
You know, that's a terrible name. What's you have a better name for that?
No, I thought you were going to use Coney Island.
No, yeah, we use Coney Island Frog's Legs. Yeah.
I hope you registered that.
No.
You have 2 days to register.
Yeah, we got other names.
Top story today. I mean, it's hard to pick. We had a lot of stories, but I thought the most interesting one is actually two stories about Wikipedia, starting with John Siegenthaler, the father of the NBC News correspondent. He was an aide to Robert F. Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And there's an article, a biographical article about him on Wikipedia, which makes the very false assertion that he was somehow suspected in the JFK assassination. And Siegenthaler really, and I understand
hilarious
why.
Hilarious, this entry, which is you read it, you crack up.
Well, and that's, you know, so he's desperately kind of old school trying to, well, who wrote it? He wants to know who wrote it.
Well, I'd like to know who wrote it too, because they found out that Adam Curry, which is this follow-up story you're going to bring up, was putting in, beefing up his role in the podcasting. Right.
But they found out he did it.
Well, yeah, because you can get the IP addresses, you know, and they figured it out. Why couldn't they find out who did this? I don't get it.
They wouldn't reveal it, I guess, to Siegenthaler. Well, he could do a John Doe lawsuit with the IP address, but you have to then go to the ISP.
Or maybe the person who did that was more clever about covering the tracks.
Maybe Adam signed it.
or John should talk to Adam about how he can correct the wiki. I mean, you know,
it's an interesting – I think that's exactly what it is. Collision between kind of old school and new school. Old school, you think there's a responsible party. There's the New York Times. There's somebody you can go for a retraction. There's editorial, and that's not what Wikipedia is. Now, he makes the very good point that not only did it show up in Wikipedia, but then a couple of reference sites picked it up.
About.com as well.
Yeah, and I think I can't remember the two. I don't want to be sued for libel, but two people picked it up just kind of without even looking at it and just included it. So it did get legs.
It did get legs.
So I think he has a point there. What do you think? Does this mean that Wikipedia doesn't work?
No, I think it works, but I think eventually they're going to get sued out of business, seriously.
For something like this.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a new problem. You know, and it goes on at different levels in different places, and it has been for quite some time. It's why there's certain articles on Wikipedia they kind of reach a consensus and they lock it down so nobody can edit it.
Right.
Because they have problems with people who are arguing back and forth, you know.
Israel, Palestine, that kind of thing. Yeah. You know, where there's just, abortion.
Republican, Democrat, cat, whatever it is. Yeah. You know, and it's one of the things. You have this incredible assemblage of knowledge, some of which is more, you know, viable than others. I was going to say, my wife, the librarian, I can hear her quivering in the back like.
She can come over here.
How do we verify this? How do we make sure it's legit?
But I think Wikipedia is wonderful.
It's amazing.
Yeah, for quick information.
Well, and so.
But I'm always skeptical when I read stuff.
Well, you should be.
But you can. The funny thing is, if you're like, and your librarian wife would know this. And sometimes you can kind of smell whether
it's... Say that with love, John.
No, I think you can. I think that's what we have to train our kids to do.
Right, so you can smell out the BS.
You knew when you read it that it... I mean, you said it was funny. It wasn't... You didn't take it seriously, the posting.
Well, who would? I mean, because, I mean, if anyone has a clue, they know all the, I mean, we'd be beating the Kennedy thing to death. I mean, where's this guy's name crop up out
all
of
a sudden?
Well, I think that one's an, I mean, I think that's an obvious one, but I think that we assume that the wiki is that much less accurate than the regular press. I mean,
and that's not necessarily true.
And when, like, I was, you know, I know for me.
Reporters.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, the thing is that most of the time when anyone writes about anything in a major magazine that I know a lot about, I look at it and go, these guys have no idea what they're talking about. You know, or I was in Zimbabwe during the 2000 elections, watching the elections happen on CNN. And the city that they were reporting that they said they were coming from was not the city I was standing in. I mean, it was just a completely different reality. Idea.
Well, anyone who the first trip to China figures this out, because what anyone thinks China's like is completely alien to what it's actually like when you go there.
Right.
And you know, I've always said when you travel a lot, you always have this preconceived window, what you think the world's going to be like, and then it opens up this way or that way. With China, it's over here behind you.
Right.
And it's like, so you go there, you go, wow, this is interesting.
I always thought everybody in Germany wore lederhosen and drank beer and ate pretzels. What did I know? Right? Actually, they do.
Yeah.
That's a little known fact.
Doesn't it seem like this guy just did this for the publicity?
Siegenthaler?
Nothing more.
Or Adam Curry.
I mean,
Curry.
Because every – Siegenthaler. I mean, why raise such a fuss about a source of information that on every entry contains tabs for editing, discussion,
because
reporting?
He's old school.
He's old school.
He's an older fella. He got very upset, wrote an article in the USA Today excoriating Wikipedia.
Well, like,
he
comes off as a whiny bitch to me. Short story.
I don't know. You know what?
Please. Somebody, either doesn't understand what Wikipedia is.
That's clear he doesn't.
My mom doesn't either. I wrote about this on my blog, and somebody wrote in, why didn't the guy just go to Wikipedia
edit,
and change it?
Edit it.
You know, I do that once in a while.
Correct the info.
Bio said I wrote an article for Hustler, so I went in there and took it out.
I thought you say two articles.
Yeah, it's two articles. Yes, that's right. I want to get it right.
Took it out. It said
in the centerfold.
It did.
Would somebody put that in there?
Yeah, I think it's funny.
That is funny.
But it is an issue. I mean, I'll give you another example, and it's very easy to create a false page on MySpace. Somebody's done that for me. I don't make a big deal about it because who cares? Mm-hmm. But it looks pretty credible.
A phony baloney, Leo.
Yeah, but it looks pretty credible, and I think people believe it. We live in the world now where that can be done in a very public way. Well, what do you do about it? You want to legislate
against
it?
It's called the National Enquirer. It's called I mean, you know, all of this stuff is. I mean, I don't see it. I don't see
that's
the separation.
Public figures. I'll give you an example, though. A friend of mine is a high school teacher, and old former students of his made a nasty site about him. And by the way, try to get a bad site about you that's phony off of MySpace. Have you seen this arcane process you have to do? You have to take a picture of yourself holding up a newspaper.
Have you guys heard about do you guys know a local blogger named Thomas Hawk?
No.
Price Right Photo. So it's guy went to buy a camera. The guy said he basically goes to buy a camera. Some weird stuff happens when they try to charge him for a budget. Because we were talking about this on DL.TV. They go to you should buy a 4 extra batteries and a lens cap and all this other stuff. He's like, no, just ship it. And they call back. So
they always
goes back
do
and
that.
Forth, right?
Yeah.
So
they upsell you.
Yeah, they keep trying to upsell him, and he's finally like, look, this is horrible customer service. I'm going to write about it on my blog. So somebody at the camera place who's like, I will make sure you will never be able to place an order on the internet again. I'm an attorney. I will sue you. I will call the CEO.
Just because he said bad things about this
Just because he said he would. He hadn't even put anything up on the blog. So the guy writes the blog entry, posts it up on Dig. In about 20 minutes, it goes berserk. And in about 2 days, there's about 4,000 digs, which is a huge story on Dig. It's about 700 digs. It's close to 7,000.
It's a huge
now.
Story.
It's the biggest story of the year.
So far.
It's
– some other bonehead lawyer comes along.
Oh, but this gets – no, you'll like this part. The Dig community just went off on this camera store.
Oh, boy.
They went completely off. They posted the store's aliases because they do – the same place basically does business under like three different websites, phone numbers.
Dig.
Don't mess with us.
They crank calling him. They kept auto dialing the 800 number. They Skyped him. They launched DOS attacks against the websites, posted bad reviews on websites.
We are not advocating this.
No, we're not advocating
but
it.
We're amused by it.
Yes.
We could use the Twit Army this way, but we don't.
Yeah. let it be known. They jammed the fax machine. Basically, so thousands of people just assaulted this store for like 3 days.
Wow.
Did he
buy the lens cap?
Go back.
Oh, you want to see my site?
I want to read something.
No, actually, he ended up canceling his credit card because they threatened to charge his credit card with a bunch of extra charges. And eventually the CEO of the company wrote him a letter basically apologizing and telling him that they were very sorry and that they fired the guy who had wow. been offing him on the phone.
So. Whether they really fired him or not. Or
well, the guy, he's now living in a cave in Afghanistan.
Well, apparently the business was pretty much shut down for about 3 days.
It doesn't take much.
I didn't do that.
I don't know, Leo, if you should be encouraging this with a thumbs up. Anyway, so...
that was only for the video.
So I'm looking at Leo's phony blog, the one that he didn't do.
MySpace.com/Leo is better.
So it's obviously a fan, but it's also a guy with some sort of a perverse sense of humor. Because you read Leo's interests, and it goes computers, technology, video games, call for help, screensavers, and fixing appliances.
That's quirky.
Actually, that part's true.
Take that.
You should see me with a toaster.
Yeah, I'll bet. It says you're straight, though. That's the good news.
Well, that's the thing. It wasn't too bad.
5'7", and it says body type, 5'7", with some extra baggage. I got a lot of laugh from the audience.
The peanut gallery loves that. First of all, I do have extra baggage, but I'm a little taller than that. It's hard to tell on TV.
5'11", it says there.
5'11"?
Yeah.
Oh, that's I'm a little shorter than that, actually. Okay. That's the problem. I'm too short for my weight. So the
aren't we all?
Yeah. So the what's his name? David Byrne, Talking Head fella, got in trouble with the recording industry.
you know you're in trouble when you start attacking your own artists. You know, you start going after them.
That's a bad sign. So David Byrne has a downloadable radio show. It's not even streaming. And he did a Missy Elliott special. And apparently the RIAA
– didn't get the rights for any of the songs? Didn't pay an ASCAP?
No, that wasn't what they were mad about.
What were they mad about?
Apparently the law forbids that streaming radio feature more than four tracks by any one artist in a three-hour period. So you're not allowed to do – a special about a single artist. And he says, my stuff's not even streaming, but apparently they consider streaming and downloadable the same thing. The assumption being the sale is lost because I guess what you'd record all the Missy Elliott songs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure.
I know I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, those 64K streams are.
Yeah, but now he makes those down.
Ever since Sirius and XM did the satellite radio Elvis and Sinatra channels.
All Elvis, all the time. Ooh. He does make a kind of stunning admission. Back in the day, I used my boombox to tape things off the radio all the time. That's how I found out about music I didn't even know about. He's really
What's the final thing that happens to him? Are they going to sue him?
He pays the statutory fee. He pays the fee to stream it, which is actually fairly steep. That's how they put most of these streaming stations out of business.
Right.
He says, "Is there a higher licensing fee I could pay that would let me do this? Is there a reason a radio station can play Springsteen round the clock, but I can't stream Missy Elliott?" Apparently you can, but you have to license every song separately, pay for each one instead of a lump sum.
It's a nightmare.
I just think that it's amazing that the recording industry is going after David Byrne.
Well, I mean, they're going after David Byrne, and then
he hasn't had a hit for a while.
What have you done for me lately?
They're going after David Byrne, and then they're going after, you know, 14-year-olds, mothers of five, you know, over, you know, they
grandmas.
Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, this grandmas. Is great PR. Just really a great way to make friends. You know, it's really just watching a whole industry take themselves down.
So far, in the last 2 years, the recording industry has sued 14,000, or has threatened to sue. We should say that most of these don't go to court, but has threatened to sue 14,800 people. They filed 14,800 lawsuits, and most of the time, people settle. But now people are starting to fight back, and I think that that's actually very good news.
Clog up the courts.
Well, I think they have to. I think people need to start making the RIAA prove that it was them, that they were there, that you know it was them in front of the computer. I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, it's you know yeah. you can tie it to an IP, but there's a lot more to it to really know whether to. And exactly. I think if people start forcing the RIAA to really prove it beyond a reasonable doubt,
but that's
I think
also
going to get a lot more complicated.
When you're in your room with a lawyer in a $3,000 suit that's looking at you and saying, "I'm going to own this house."
Right.
I'm going to keep your ass in court
for
weeks.
I'd give him $5,000. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It's in, you know.
And so really it's
be judgment proof. That's my motto.
And how do you do that?
Just stay broke.
I'm working on it.
Todd C. Dvorak.
I'm doing my best.
Stay broke. I get no spam.
I love this case. Severely disabled mother of an 8-year-old girl. The RIAA claims the 8-year-old girl was downloading gangsta rap at 4:30 in the morning.
Of course could've she happened. Was.
Yeah, it's,
what's
it
that
is
song?
Yeah.
Here's one. A Seattle resident
gangsta rap.
Allegedly downloading 1,200 songs. She's being sued. She owes between $750 and $150,000 as a result.
Kind of a range there.
Pretty big range.
But it's also, I mean, the laws that they're using to sue people were designed to put, you know, large pirating operations out of business where they were printing and distributing CDs.
That's what makes me mad. There are good laws. Go after the pirates. Don't go after us.
Mr.
Laporte, you don't seem to understand the severity of this.
The great piracy nexus in the entire world is in Malaysia. Go into Malaysia and bust it.
Start shutting
it's run by the Chinese triads, and you know, well, maybe it's a little more difficult.
Yeah.
But you know, you guys are tough guys. Go after them. They're the ones doing all the
in a 3-piece suit, guy with a tattoo of a headless corpse. I don't know.
You know, you gutless guys. They go after little girls and they leave the triads
right.
alone. Come
yeah.
on,
8-year-old girl. It's easy. We got her. Yeah. How about going after podcasters? Apparently, a podcaster he runs vegan.com.
So oh, yeah, easy. I heard this. And he's got his, like 1,000 or 500
weak.
Customers.
He's got 1,500 listeners.
Aww.
Somebody hijacked his RSS listing and pod keyword. And then he contacted them. And they said, well, you give us enough money. We'll give it back to you.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of an interesting story. But I couldn't quite figure out what was really going on. I read that and read that, and I could not make heads or tails out of what happened to him.
It couldn't happen to us, he said, hoping and crossing his fingers, because we could contact – the problem is that many of these sites.
Well, what happened? What you explain this story to me? Because I read it, didn't quite get it. What happened? I mean, how did he get hijacked? I don't understand. He didn't lose his website.
No. What you do is you tell Apple or you tell somebody else that your RSS feed address is shifted, and so all of a sudden on iTunes or Odeo or Yahoo, you're when people go to what they think is your podcast, it's pointing to a different location.
Oh, okay.
Not
so
your
just,
location.
So you just change the pointer.
Yeah,
so they think they're getting
that
vegan
be
and
easy
now
to
it's
fix.
A beef council.
It should be
ad.
Easy to fix, but I mean, there's that. We actually, when.
And it sounds illegal to me.
It seems like it should be, yeah. I mean,
it's you know, there's probably some sort of lawyerly construct you can put together.
The thing that we would do is we have friends at Apple or we have friends at Odeo at My Yahoo. We call them and say, hey, dudes.
But most people don't.
But so most people don't.
Does it not require a password
in
order
that
to change this information?
That's what happened to Dignation early on is somebody that you could go and if you don't want Apple's iTunes to carry your podcast, like let's say you're getting slammed on bandwidth or something or you don't like Apple or you could – email them and say, please remove this podcast. And they were just auto-deleting it without doing any verification on the ownership of the podcast. Somebody who was, you know, decided to pull a prank on Kevin made Dignation disappear the day after it showed up on the front
but
page.
But now Kevin has friends and he doesn't have to worry about
that. There's a couple crackpots that...
Well, what they do, which is kind of sneaky, is they point the feed to their own feeds, but they continue to make it work.
Right.
So people are downloading, and as you build an audience, everything seems to be working. So if the podcaster's not paying attention, you have a big podcast, and all of a sudden you have no control over it at all. And Apple says, well, what do you mean? If for the last 6 months it's been pointed to this address, then it's a little harder.
Right.
Nerd extortion is the worst.
I'm a vegan. I don't have a lot of energy to fight this one.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Leo at leoville.com. All you vegans out there who are loyal listeners, I'm on your side.
Vegans are from the planet Vega. Vegans don't eat meat.
I don't know.
Universal tries to claim it's illegal to email their employees. There's a website.
Have you seen this website?
This is unbelievable to me, this story.
I love this website. It's called Everyone.
The website's really cool. I think it would be completely useless to use the actual emails on it, but it was amazing.
The website's called everyonewhosanyone.com, and the idea is if you're a screenwriter, you get all the agents, all the studios, all the addresses are there, and you can bombard them.
That's how we got this job.
I'll never forget all the poor Patrick, the begging, the pleading, the emails. He sent me flowers once, candy.
Your RSS, the flowers, everything worked out.
The flowers were for some other reason.
Remember Morgan asked for Smarties once?
Yeah.
And then got inundated with Smarties candy?
Like 40 pounds worth.
You know what I found out recently? She's Canadian, right? The Smarties in Canada are very different than Smarties in the U.S. Smarties in Canada are basically M&Ms. She wanted M&Ms. She got
Smarties.
Yeah, they're like sweet tarts. Yeah. They're like, ugh.
Hey, I like those.
She never said anything, though, you know? I'm surprised she never said, no, no, this is the wrong kind of Smartie.
She would have got another 40 pounds of M&Ms.
It's just the gift horse issue here. You don't, you know.
Yeah, somebody send you 400 pounds of sugar. You're excited.
Oh, this is my friend Tila Tequila.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I have 109 friends. Rick James is one of my friends.
And well, he should be.
Back to MySpace. I'm sorry.
So how about that Skype and the video call update?
Yeah. You want to talk about that? Skype's going to do video.
I'm still trying to get over the fact that Skype got purchased.
They're doing for $3.5 billion,
which is a funny story because when I met with Michael Robertson and the guys, you know, when they did Gizmo, they sat down at lunch with me before they rolled it out, and they were talking about the guys, the Skype guys, were asking $3.5 billion, you know, and they were laughing and said, "Who is this guy's nuts? He thinks he's going to get two or three billion. Actually, maybe it was $2.5 billion.
He got it. So Logitech's doing a deal with them. They're going to offer a Skype video software with the cameras, I guess. I don't know. Who cares? AIM does it. Yahoo does it. Everybody does it.
Everybody does it.
What's the big deal?
Well, we did it six years ago.
We started the Netcam Network.
Yeah, which I think helped bring down Tech TV. I always thought the Netcam Network was the sleaziest thing that was on that channel.
Thanks.
And if you remember
you know how many Netcam people Leo and I talked to in the course
every review of the Tech TV, ZDTV thing would say, except for the amateurish kind of thing.
Yeah.
And they would always bitch and moan about these sleazy little images that were, the voices was wrong. It looked crappy.
No, that was Leo
and,
then
it was the worst part about those things is that the image was really small and the whole thing was not even put on the screen correctly.
You know whose idea that was?
Probably Peter Hammersley or something.
That was my idea. I'm sorry to say.
It was?
Yeah.
Well, you could have put the kibosh on it.
No, that was the whole idea. What he's trying to say is
you have emotionally wounded him.
Scarred me. Before the channel even started, I was talking with Candy Myers.
That's cold.
And we were talking about, we were still doing the site on MSNBC. But it was pretty clear MSNBC was about to dump us.
Right.
We were starting
Of Diana.
Yeah, Diana died, and Ziff Davis announced they're going to do a network. And so, why would you do a TV show with Ziff Davis? And so we went to the cafe around the corner. What was the name of that? I love
Universal
that place.
No, the Slow Club.
Right. The food is slow, but the service is fast. Or is it the other way around?
Actually, the food was quite good there.
The food was great. Good. The service was brutal.
We should do this show from the Slow Club.
It's too noisy to join.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
After hours.
Good lemon drops, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hey, back to the story.
So you're there with Candy Myers.
Lemon
you're
drops.
Toasted.
So she's saying, what would you do? And I said, well, I do this call-in radio show. And it'd be really cool. You could turn it into TV if you only had some way to see the callers. And that's when.
Bingo.
Bingo.
Oh, brother.
They got 20,000 of those US Robotics cameras.
Yeah.
Literally. 20. 10?
10.
It doesn't matter. Past 5,000, it's all the same.
Yeah. They were giving them away like water.
We couldn't get rid of them fast enough. Yeah. They discontinued the camera. We still had 5,000 left. They couldn't get software for the thing. We still had 3,000 left.
Well, you could still get it. We just had to make it available in strange ways. Right.
Microsoft OneCare.
Right.
This is the
Speaking of nerd distortion.
This should have been killed, this story for today, but go ahead.
Why should it be killed?
It's just a stupid. I mean, they try this stuff all the time. It's not.
No. Microsoft's brilliant. Listen, here's what you do. You create an operating system that's full of security flaws and holes, and then you make people pay you a monthly fee to keep it up to date.
This is the first real strategy we've seen from Microsoft in a decade.
It's brilliant.
It's unbelievable.
It's free right now. It just launched. And by the way, the Microsoft product manager calls the beta a home run.
Brother.
Next story.
Microsoft Max, though? Their new beta? It's photo editing / sharing software. It has, honestly, a very sweet interface. I don't know how well.
Now, what's this?
Microsoft Max. It's a new beta that they just put out. And it is essentially codenamed Max. It uses the FX, WinFX runtime components, which are basically some of the graphical components that will be part of Vista.
So you have to download a big chunk of...
List your photos, turn them into beautiful slideshows, and share them with family and friends,
and they're going after
yada, yada,
Apple
yada. It sounds like an open platform. It will be more than just photos.
It's Flickr 4.0.
Exactly.
Essentially. And I've used Google's product, too.
Have you played with it?
I love Picasa.
I just discovered it today.
Okay. It's been out for a month or two.
Have you played with it? Anyone play with it?
I play with it briefly. It's beautiful. I think it's one of those things where it looks great, and how useful is
it?
Another question. Yeah, it's worth checking out.
The basic stuff, though, for Max, it seems like it needs a couple of basic, image fixing features.
That Walt Mossberg has gone over to the dark side.
He's always been over there.
No, but this is it.
This is the worst, you
this
say?
Is the worst.
What happened?
Walt Mossberg.
Not the worst.
He says, I've been testing the new iMac. Our verdict is it's the gold standard of desktop PCs. To put it simply, no desktop offered by Dell or Hewlett-Packard or Sony or Gateway can match the new iMac G5's combination.
It sounds like ad copy.
This is the Wall Street Journal. Can match
the
new...
This is Walt Mossberg of the Wall Street Journal. It's even weirder.
I mean, listen to these adjectives. Power, elegance,
Any
simplicity. This is one
if
sentence.
If he retires, where he'd go to work?
Yeah, I guess. Well, you know, he gets great treatment. I've seen him at Macworld. We were slogging away saying, Mr. Jobs, Mr. Jobs, Mr. Jobs. And Steve literally pushes us aside and puts his arm around Walt Mossberg, and they go off.
Well, wouldn't you?
A friend of mine was working in Apple booth at a trade show about 2 years ago before they started getting the processor speed up. And there's sort of a young, very enthusiastic Apple employee there that he's trying to contain. And Mossberg comes walking up to one of the iMacs, and the kid runs up and he's like, Mr. Mossberg, is there anything you can do to help complete your experience? Yeah. And like Mossberg's hands are going up to the keyboard, and apparently he just turns to him, looks, and says, don't ask me any questions. Leave me alone. Unless you can tell me why these things are so damn slow.
Well, that was a couple of years ago. Elegance, simplicity, ease of use, but I don't stability, security. I don't see slow anywhere in here. And he also says it handles all common Windows files as well as the internet and email with aplomb. And he says, contrary to misconceptions, this Mac is competitively priced. Actually, I have to say, I do like the new iMac. The one thing that they did I really like, have you seen this new Front Row application? It's basically a media server. It's got a remote control.
It's cool.
Have you heard
about the rumors about the next generation
Mac Mini? That's a media machine.
Well, it has potential. It could be. But
$499.
What will be the hardware support? That'll make or break it. I could care less. It's vaporware at this point. Microsoft has it in the bag right now with Media Center Edition.
Now
2005 is an amazing app.
Really?
It supports. It's as good of a front end as I've seen on any of
them. I've seen it. It's actually quite good. And what's really nice is the way it interfaces with the Xbox 360, so you can just hook that to your TV, to your HD.
Well, I think what you're going to have is
a TiVo. It's $200.
But I think that what we're
talking
about.
That's a good point.
The rumors are with the Mac Mini, you're talking about a DVR that'll record it straight to your iPod. Your iPod
that
video.
Would be the
that's the
their version.
You know, I think the iPod. I think all
and that would just be a patch for me.
I think that's a dead end technology.
TiVo's
yeah,
already
there. They haven't been selling any of them at all.
No, I'm not saying that you can't sell them, but I'm telling you, these things are going to be doorstops. Nobody's going to watch television on this screen.
Yeah, it is a little small. I have to say.
It's not
compelling to me.
It may not be compelling, but boy, there are a lot of people downloading video in that format.
Yeah, it's short term. It's a bump in the road. You watch 2 years from now, you say what happened.
You offer iPod version of DLTV. Is that the biggest version that you download?
No.
What's the?
But it's up there.
What is the?
I haven't gone over the last 2 weeks of log files, but we've been pretty neck and neck with WMV H.264 in the iPod format.
TiVo. We talked about this last week. TiVo announced they're going to offer. A way to offload your TiVo to your iPod and your PSP.
Well, they already offer with the latest to-go software. You can now easily move, as in moving it through a USB 1 connection, large video files back and forth to your PC already.
Right.
And from that point, you can do whatever you want with
it. Sure, you could always put it.
USB but they say 1?
Yeah.
That's
too slow.
That is
They say direct
slow.
Download to the iPod and PSP. I think that's what I gathered.
Well, that'll just mean that the TiVo to-go software will add the functionality for encoding to that format. Yeah. And as it is right now, if you want to encode that to anything that will play outside.
Don't they want to pay the extra $0.05 for the USB 2 technology or what?
Or how about just an Ethernet connection?
No, I bet you it's the movie company saying, you could do it, but it has to be really slow.
I wouldn't. You seem like you're trying to be funny there, but in fact, it's possible.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Well, they're also apparently going to be selling movie tickets over the TiVo. One of the many strange options that are
actually.
Coming
I talked
up on
to
TiVo.
Samsung when they were bringing out all those uplink. You know, they have all these up converters for their DVD players. You can get 720p off of a regular DVD player, and only through HDMI. You know, and I'm saying why can't you get? Although the early ones had DVI, and there's still some company that has one with a regular component video.
I hate HDMI.
Really? And why do you hate HDMI?
It doesn't lock into the connection.
It falls off.
And a lot of these new TVs are putting the connections that point straight up. What's the solution? Add a little strap to hold your cable in place.
$3,000 television. $150 cable.
And besides that, how many
60
people,
cents worth of duct tape?
Realistically, need audio and video on the same cable.
What's wrong with that? One for, cable.
How many TVs have 5.1?
Oh.
Well, let me get back.
I mean, it's easier
let me
for
finish
stereo,
my right. story so people don't. Because when you listen to radio, people, what was the end of that story? The end of it was they wouldn't do it in component video because Hollywood said no, we won't.
Yeah, they want digital because they can copy protect.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Wankers. I mean, what difference does it make? I want to rent a DVD. I want to watch it at 720p. I've got an older HD screen or projector or whatever. I want to watch this thing. No, I can't.
Well, MacroVision's responsible for not being able to do the upscaling over component. All the upscaling DVD players can only do it through digital output.
Mm-hmm.
I can find you one that actually has component.
Oh no, I know they have component connections.
No, that does the up
with a copyrighted disc.
As far as I know, I mean, maybe there's some gotcha in there.
Mine is HDMI.
Well, check it. I mean, I've just never seen a player that it's legit. There might be a hack that enables that feature,
I'm
but
not saying
MacroVision
not a
protection.
Hack, but
part of the MacroVision protection is that you can't do that.
Is
over.
The president of Apex still in custody in China? I think he is. Isn't that a wacky story? Did you hear that story?
No, tell us.
So Apex is – remember we all ran out and bought Apex DVDs? Yeah. The deal was a Chinese-American fella realized that you could make cheap DVD players that were good, and he did a deal with the Chinese government.
Kind of.
Kind of good.
It was kind of a 50-50. It either ran for years or it blew up in the first 2 weeks.
I think the later ones were better, mm-hmm. and then they started making TVs. But apparently he wasn't paying the Chinese government for these things he was selling, or they claimed he was understating sales because – he's in China now in
like
custody.
Things with no country code, and they had all these features.
Yeah, that was the great thing about the Apex. It had a back door. Yeah, right. Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, poor guy. Now, I mean, he's a kind of. There's no legal proceedings.
Was he not paying royalties? Is that why they're angry?
Well, this paying royalties to who? To China?
China was making them, building them.
And he never paid him?
And he never paid him.
Oh,
that's what they claim.
I'm sorry. If you make a deal with a sovereign nation or maybe a high-ranking general in a sovereign nation.
That's who it was.
You don't – you know what I mean?
You should pay them.
Yeah, it's very simple.
He claims they were being paid, but –
you know what? Maybe what? Maybe he's right. Maybe there's some corruption here.
You don't want to mess around. You know, if the Chinese government is making you TVs, you're right. Pay the bills. Pay the bills. Hey, we didn't mention if Apple were going to do this media center, would they announce it at this new at DV Expo? Is
It'd
that
be
a,
unlikely?
That's not.
It'll
that's
be,
a consumer product.
That's it'll be. Yeah, it's a consumer product. I mean, next week DV Expo is where people will be showing off and announcing.
What's
so
DV Expo?
DV Expo is kind of like a smaller NAB. It's a much smaller NAB.
Where is
it's down in LA. There's a DV Expo West and East. And,
DV
Digital
DV
Video.
Digital Video Magazine puts it on, and it's been a growing show, very successful.
Scuttlebutt is that Apple might say do something with professional video now.
Oh, they're not going to do anything. There's Mickey Mouse. I'm sorry, a small show like that.
They have in the past, so that's why.
But not a big thing like a Mac Mini.
No.
I'd like to see them just standardize the interface on Final Cut and Compressor and everything. Sorry, I've just been.
They're slowly moving that direction.
Well, it's just like, you know, the first 9 versions of the operating system were tightly controlled, and you start shifting applications in OS X, and it's like, wow, this is a wicked ripping pain in the ass. You know, it's right clickable here, it's not right clickable there. The menus come down there. They don't. It's just,
is that because they bought it, or is it because?
Well, Final Cut. I mean, everything is kind of wraps around. You know what? Like Final Cut kind of came the way it came, but like you'll find that DVD Studio Pro and Soundtrack Pro, mm-hmm. for instance, are the interfaces are almost identical because that's when Apple really has.
Right.
You know, they wrote it
from scratch. Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, DVD Studio Pro, the first one wasn't written from scratch, but the second one was, or almost. I mean, it was really rewritten completely.
Intel in January? That's now. Yeah. Now the Citigroup, a Citigroup analyst is. I think this is definite now. Once the analysts start saying it's going to happen, it's going to happen.
That means
right?
They probably told them. They got to tell some of these guys in advance before for the stock.
I'd be totally blown away if we don't see
he
it.
Says,
some kind of. I'm guessing the Mini, the iBook.
He
and
says
possibly the iMac.
ThinkSeeker was saying iBook. This guy's saying PowerBook.
The laptops need to be revved. I mean, they are getting really long in the tooth.
I'd love a Pentium.
And so I think that's why we haven't seen any major revision. But I don't know whether it's going to be January. There's a couple dates that Apple can use in the spring.
Yeah, but he can roll it out in January and ship later.
It's possible. It's they tend show. Not to do it. They like, tend not to do it way ahead of time.
Yeah, but they seem to like to ship right away.
Yeah, there's no reason they can't ship this thing already.
What they really like is everybody leaving the keynote, running across the street to the Apple store, and buying every single unit. That's what they like.
That's what the Apple store likes.
I have to admit that's pretty much it's right across the street. So I'm always
why don't you just go to the Apple store, folks, and be on a cell phone, and then when the word comes out and they drove the box in front of you.
I've done that.
Yeah, you have?
Yeah, to get products for review.
Well, a lot of these guys are selling them on eBay. They know that there'll be a shortage and they're running out.
I think the Mac Mini is one that's pretty high up on the list, I think, because the Apple looks at it as their switch machine.
PowerBook.
So I got some viewer mail this week I want to mention.
Yes.
A couple of things. One is that people are complaining or suggesting that you, Leo, get the store together because Christmas is coming.
It's coming. I'm working right now with a company in, I don't know, somewhere. I got to be careful. We said something about Tennessee, and I got a hate mail from people from Tennessee. Tennessee.
Tennessee's a fine,
Tennessee,
fine place.
I love it. It's from
actually,
Nashville.
Actually, it's a very nice place. They got great barbecue there.
Francis and Lusky, they're putting a store together. It looks great. We're trying to figure out how many items we can have so that people can – I don't want to have too many items because – then there might be delays in getting them, so I want to have a reasonable selection.
At least
we're going to have T-shirts. We're going to have I've already ordered
hats.
Hoodies. We're going to have hats.
The John C. Dvorak.
I get no spam.
That's under a good ruse. Hat.
Yep. Hat. Under ruse. Yeah. So look for that soon. I actually hoped it would be up by this week, but
I got another note from someone saying I was a bully last week or the week after, and especially I was bullying Patrick. And the guy's never seen Patrick. You know, lift your dead lifting.
It's like you know,
bullying Patrick is like a laugh.
You are all over my ass. It happens. You know what? Sometimes it goes right back the other way.
He knows. Well, these guys think that you're helpless, so I'm just mentioning it to you.
Well, I am a sort of a wallflower.
He is. He's a shrinking violet.
Patrick can walk down Market Street wearing a kilt and carrying a high-performance off-road shock over his shoulder and still gets the looks from the women. I'm in awe.
You know, the funny thing is about, well, you know, Patrick's an interesting guy from the one perspective he's, because I've taken his picture a few times because I'm a photographer junkie, basically, and take everyone's shots. Patrick's one of the most photogenic guys I've ever shot. It's unbelievable.
Really?
Tell him. I mean, you know you're photogenic. I mean, if you look at him in person, it's like, nah, this guy can't be photogenic because he's not really that good looking. But I'll tell you, in a picture, holy mackerel.
Really?
It's astonishing, to be honest.
I've worked with him for years, and I never noticed
it's
that.
It's astonishing.
I can eat you and my mother together. You two could really be all over my
I'm telling you, no, seriously. When you take a lot of pictures, you
learn,
and you get. But the thing is, the one weird thing about photogeneity is you don't necessarily know it.
You can't tell ahead of time.
You can try to tell.
Is it bone structure?
I think it's
with
bones
him. It's bone structure.
I'm not absolutely sure. He's got a big jaw and he's got a funny squint. I have no idea.
And the calves.
It's a mirror, but you look at it, you go, man. Cover of GQ we're talking
when
about.
When they say that you're the lunchbox Larry guy, what is that?
I own the lunchbox crowd.
Lunchbox crowd. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's the two letters.
Did you steal my BlackBerry? You did.
Yeah, it's right here. All right. You're gonna talk about it?
It's kind of an alternative now. We need like candles on
this. This is an awesome phone. I actually really like it.
Leo's got the new BlackBerry.
Oh look, it crashed. That's one thing I don't like about it. It crashes a lot.
It crashed right in front of me.
Yeah.
Check for a firmware.
Error number 200, reset.
It doesn't just press return and
does it have a touch sensitive screen?
No. But it's a beautiful screen. Anyway, it may be completely useless in a month when BlackBerry lost their court case on Wednesday.
Well, did they lose it? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I remember when you would buy something, then the price would drop, and the rest of us could afford it. Now you buy something, and they lose court cases, and they go out of business.
They're out of business!
There's definitely some sort of a jinx.
No new Macs for you.
So the deal is that there is a patent holding company. You know, this is the thing. You create a company, you buy some patents.
No, that's not true.
NTP is not a patent.
Not really. The guy actually did some inventing, and it's not like one of those sleazy patent holding companies. It's a legitimate guy with a legitimate patent.
He has several patents. Right?
Yeah, and they're all around this sort of thing.
And
now, whether the patent's any good is another issue.
Well, and that's.
But it's not like that's not the story.
Okay, I mean, so he's not a sleazebag.
No.
He has several patents, though, about how BlackBerry delivers email. Something about a proxy server and email delivery. Claims that BlackBerry's infringing. They negotiate. BlackBerry claims they have a settlement early in the spring, a $450 million settlement. NTP says, no, there was no settlement.
Actually, it started with the $60 million, then it went to one something, and then it went to four something. It kept building. every time you read, it started in 2002 or something like
that. It's been going for 3 years.
And it's been going on, and then money hasn't been paid to anybody. It's been going into an escrow account just in case they do lose.
But and this is what the judge ruled on Wednesday. He says, I've had enough. There is no agreement. We're going to settlement hearings, and that's it.
Both companies seem to be very stubborn. Both of them.
BlackBerry says, that's all right. We have an alternative method, although they haven't revealed this alternative method. Most analysts are saying now it's going to cost them at least $1 billion.
That's the latest,
to get the license. But then a little Thursday, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office says, oh, by the way, one of those patents, it's not valid.
Well, you know, there's one other thing here that doesn't get mentioned that much, and I talked to one of the attorneys about this, which is that the guy, the NTP guys, which shows that they're not really a classic, you know, scammer, they don't know what to charge. The royalty rate that they want BlackBerry to pay is 8.5%. The industry standard for this sort of thing is around 4% or sometimes less. So they're actually wanting twice as much money. 8.5% is a ridiculous royalty for a licensing.
And you
deal.
Say this means that they're honorable people?
No,
it
means that they don't know what they're doing.
Or they're greedy.
Well, no, I think it's I believe that they're just naive.
Well, it sounded like with the $450 settlement, $450 million.
You know, like you sound like the RIAA here. It's either always $450 or $450 million.
Yeah, yeah. We're not sure exactly which.
Depends on
but we know
we
there's some illegal songs on your BlackBerry. With the $450 million settlement, it sounded like RIM actually walked away from NTP for unknown reasons. It wasn't actually.
We have a settlement. Then it turned out they didn't have a settlement.
It sounded like they walked away from some earlier.
The story's vague at that point.
And then RIM wanted to go back and say, "Oh, you know that settlement that we had 6 months ago? We actually want to pay that." And I think that I don't know, but I think that what happened was their lawyers said, "I think we can invalidate the patents." And so they we're not going to pay the $450 million, and they're starting to invalidate.
There's 11 patents. Five of them now are under review, but that takes a long time. They don't have that kind of time because the court has already said, no, we're going to hearings. We're going to go to settlement hearings.
Well, whatever happens, happens.
I don't think you're going to see.
That's my
worst
conclusion.
Case scenario in a month. BlackBerries don't work anymore. You don't get email.
Well, I think that the government is saying we can't have our BlackBerries turned off, and RIM's saying we can't separate it easily.
This is
the
real issue here is how much infrastructure stuff like this, which becomes incredibly important to the entire society, can be turned off by edict, by lawsuits, or by whatever, or you know. Anything.
Michael Powell lived on his BlackBerry.
It's a bad thing.
You know, the chairman of the FCC. I'm sure the new chairman lives on his BlackBerry.
They should just nationalize the company.
If a town in Connecticut can kick a bunch of people out of their
well, the Canadians can do it. Then they can nationalize something.
They're practically socialists as it is.
And ladies and gentlemen in Canada, it's Leo@leoville.com.
Hey, I get my flu shots in Canada. Don't you forget?
I did that last year.
Yeah. Me too.
Because I couldn't get a shot. Here,
I happened to work up there, so they were doing it anyway. But
no semi-dead viruses.
But
for
you can
me.
Go
Sorry.
To these health places in Canada and get a shot. Health
Good
places.
News for New Orleans.
They're actually pretty cool. Surprising.
Citywide free Wi-Fi for everybody. You may not have power. There may be water in your basement, but you've got Wi-Fi.
This is actually surfing. The topic of this week's PCMagazine.com column, which is the fact that this is I think this is just a one-shot thing. I don't think free Wi-Fi is ever going to catch on because
why
I think,
not?
I think politically it's there's too many vested interests.
Yeah, Verizon won't.
Verizon
no,
has
I'm
too
not,
much
just
money.
Not them. But think about it. You got Verizon. You got Comcast. You got hotels that are charging $10 a night.
That's appalling, isn't it?
And you got Starbucks. You got McDonald's. You've got in any big city. You've got so many vested interests that are nickel and diming the public to death with this crap. That there's
that
no
seems to
way
be less
that
of an issue right now in New Orleans, and they've also
no,
said
well,
that
New Orleans is an exception, but that's the only one.
And actually,
in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia was quashed, and you know.
No, Philadelphia has it.
Philadelphia
but it
has
but no
it,
one else in Pennsylvania.
But as a result, 11 states plus however many they've gotten since the last time I checked
13,
up on
it.
It basically can no longer have municipal Wi-Fi because it's horrible for rural communities. I mean, forget about the big cities.
I think they're the ones who should get the free stuff. I think if you put WiMAX in a rural area and just
but
put
the problem
online.
Is if the state legislature pushes through, like, oh yes,
well,
sir, Mr.
What,
Verizon representative,
well, that's
what a
what
brilliant idea! You know,
they screwed the public there.
Well, in Louisiana, it's just limit. It's simply limited. You can
512.
Yeah, 512. Well, 512 is what.
The
no,
thing.
Fi-
what
no,
is the point of limiting the bandwidth? Who are they kidding?
Well, it's 512 right now. More. Is the big bandwidth?
That's what Google's doing in San Francisco.
By law, I think it's 128. In all of Louisiana, so you can do public Wi-Fi in Louisiana,
but
as long as it can't be.
It has to be lousy.
You can check. Yeah, you can check your email. You know, and that's about all you can get.
Do public Wi-Fi. Chicken in every pot,
wide open.
What was it? Huey Long promised a chicken in every pot and Wi-Fi in every home. I think
chicken in every pot in a car, or two chickens in every pot in a car in every garage.
I think it is something that people should really look at as far as the rural areas is where it's the most important, or more importantly, the small towns.
I agree. They're disenfranchised.
This is a gentrification.
Right, not that, but it's a really good idea. I mean, you don't have all these, you know, these vested interests trying to keep it from happening, so it's more doable.
And frankly, it's in the interest of city government. You can completely revitalize a community. You can bring business. There's a lot to be said for it.
Yeah, except if you live in a little town.
Yeah, I'm on the telecommunications committee, and we're working on getting.
Well, it's probably more educated than a lot of these little towns that I've been to or lived in, which is that you got a bunch of boneheads, and you got a bunch of these hard sell sales guys come in from some big company, and they sell them on some horrible
idea. That's what we did. We bought
monorail.
we bought a monorail going through town. It's got two stops. And we got two traffic lights.
And the egg stop.
Exactly.
But
we're modern.
I do think in an information age when you could really work anywhere, there's a lot of people that would love to move to a little town.
I agree.
If there was fiber into, you know, running through it in high speed. I have a friend who has an ISP in Freeport, Pennsylvania. You know, there's one stoplight, you know, where I grew up, and he's slowly running fiber through the entire town.
This is something I want to hear.
I think there's a lot of this going on. It's all under the radar.
But it's been happening in the Midwest for years, where people were doing line of sight wireless and wiring up towns and stuff. But it was interesting to watch Verizon go berserk after Philadelphia was like, hey, nobody wants to bring us Wi-Fi. Or excuse me, Wi-Fi. Yeah. Nobody wants to bring the city, you know, broadband. Great, we'll wire the city.
One of our Twit audience members could fill us in on this. You know, Verizon offers this Fios thing, which you said is bogus. Very fast, 15 megabits down, 2 megabits up, $50 a month. But I got an email from somebody who said, but the latency is awful. Which would be significant. I mean, it doesn't mean a lot if you get a lot of bandwidth, and if you've got, you know, a 200 millisecond or a 1,000 millisecond latency.
It depends on what you're doing.
Well, if you do web surfing, which you have lots of files, I mean, when you hit a web page, you're not just hitting a web page. You're hitting that server over and over again to bring every image and everything down one after another. It could be 50 things that it has to hit.
But terrible.
And if there's a lot of latency, the web page takes forever to come up.
Yeah. Or World of Warcraft.
Are there any cell phone providers offering decent internet performance?
This has edge,
like,
which is
megabit.
No,
you do megabit speed over cell networks.
No, it's funny though. But the third half generation stuff was all these promises of this and that.
It's 500, 512, 760.
Think about how nice it would be to have a Bluetooth-enabled cell phone in your pocket that blinks the notebook wirelessly.
Bluetooth doesn't have enough.
Do a megabit over.
I think that's the problem. Not
on Bluetooth. Like 768 or like 512.
It's much slower than that. It's extremely slow.
It's not intended for that.
But, I mean, just in real world, actually plug like a USB cable.
I mean, that's absolutely the dream, right?
But the problem is a megabit.
Surf on this. This is
in real world. It drops a lot.
This is Singular's 3G is Edge, and Verizon's is EVDO. Both of them seem about.
The radio on this device is currently turned off, or the battery is too low, which is probably.
No, I turned on off the radio. I thought I turned it back on. Just go ahead.
No, you didn't.
Turn it on.
But I mean, it's like some
we were
mystery.
Sitting in an airport once, and Leo was trying to log into the Wi-Fi in the airport, and he's getting out his credit card, and he can't get his laptop.
Hey, FlyJet Blue
whipped out
free.
My Sprint.
Yeah, and they get nothing but flack for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is another example of people, you know, not letting you get free stuff. Because
Vegas airport,
because
free
the
Wi-Fi,
airport,
awesome.
You know, wants to make some money, and these guys.
Oh, yeah, they have these little areas, the JetBlue areas,
you
know, but then
JetBlue is like a bad guy for
TV,
giving
baby.
It away.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, in
30 plus channels.
Does JetBlue still have all its call center representatives at Mormons in their house?
That's how they
used to do it. Little old lady Mormons in the
I doubt it, but I doubt
I wouldn't.
It.
I wouldn't.
All I know is they're some of the best pilots
well,
in the world.
I wouldn't. They got all these routes. They could,
recent
they
performance.
Wouldn't be enough old ladies that are Mormons.
You are not currently in an area that can
Utah's
handle data communication.
Well, it's possible.
There's a lot of empty
well, so much for Edge.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
It says you're not in an area that can handle data. That's not true. It works great. I don't know what. Maybe this building is.
No, it's probably your batteries.
Maybe the
batteries only last for about 25 minutes.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
No, that's not true. It's been great for
how long have you had it?
25 minutes. But the battery's still great. So eBay is in court. U.S. Supreme Court's going to hear the story over
story.
Buy It Now.
Of a site called eBay.
It's another one of these patent things.
Are they being sued by Amazon?
Merck Exchange says it holds the patent for something called consignment nodes, which includes the concept of, they've patented this, logging into an auction site and buying something for a fixed price. That's buy it now on eBay.
Buy it now, right.
The U.S. Supreme Court's going to hear this, but this is why it's important. If the Supreme Court overturns – I wish Larry Lessig were here because he's an actual lawyer, you know.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. If they overturn the precedent of exclusivity of invention – this is from Ars Technica, which grants absolute right of control over a patent to the holder, it could mean that they could institute mandatory licensing, which would really solve things like this RIM case, where you just say that the patent holder has to license. There's a set fee, whatever it is, 4%. And then RIM could say, all right, well, we know there's patents. We know it's encumbered, but we can license it. And we know what it's going to cost us. We don't have to go to court.
Right.
This could be a very big deal. We should watch this story.
It sounds reasonable.
Sounds like another show of triangulation.
Triangulation coming up. So our first triangulation was on the Google print. We'll release that probably in a couple of days. You, me, and Larry Lessig talking about that. I didn't have much to say, so it was really what's a two-sided triangle?
It's a
line.
Yes. Yeah. There's a joke there, and I just couldn't come up with it. I know. It was a softball, and I was like, oh, my God, first softball tonight. And then I just choked and missed it.
In a stunning turn of events, Massachusetts Secretary of Administration and Finance Thomas Trimarco has revealed that Microsoft's recent efforts to make Office XML a ratified standard may make the format acceptable to the government. Massachusetts is back in Microsoft's court.
We know the reason why.
Yeah, because they were paying off that guy and he was flying all over the...
I still like it. Basically, it's the openness of the patent seems to be you could if you reverse engineer their file format, their XML file format, they won't sue you. That's pretty much my understanding of what the agreement says.
I don't know why. I just don't trust Microsoft to open the Office format. It doesn't seem like something they would ever do.
You know, sometimes you might not trust them, but sometimes I don't think they can. I think there's a lot of spaghetti code at Microsoft.
Oh, I see what you're saying. They can't reveal it because you would go, ooh.
Right, that or they can't.
They literally can't.
It is a clever thing.
Undocumented.
Or incompatibility with every previous version, sure.
I mean, one of the website tools we're running is based on .NET, and it does some interesting stuff where it generates code. And it was just like, you know, it's one of those moments where you're like, you know, it's like something goes wrong. You click on, you know, the part where it opens the HTML, and you look at it. And you're sitting there,
what
and like, because I mean, you
it's
know,
like what they did with front page.
I can't code to save my life, but when I look at a page and I realize that this is an atrocious mess, it's obviously gone.
Well, I'll give you an example, and I think this is still in Word. The original Word format used a bytecode for letters. They were trying to save space.
Yeah, well, it's so, like the Word star in the upper and flipping the bit.
Now you could do 8 bits, a byte, and you'd have plenty of space. But they were actually, they were getting each letter into a nibble, a half a byte. By doing that, by flipping bits, crazy stuff, crazy stuff. And the word, a letter wouldn't end on an 8-bit board boundary. It'd overlap. And I mean, that's what makes it hard to figure this stuff out.
Right. It's impossible, actually.
So you may be right. They may not be able to open this stuff because they're so tied to it. So what's the deal? Anybody know with this strike against Call of Duty? Did you see that?
No.
Oh, that was due to lack of updates and support, basically for online cheating. It involves updates to the Pump Buster client and the server operators who basically, I imagine it costs some money to run a server sucking all that bandwidth all the way down with multiplayer gaming.
December 16th.
And if the cheating comes rampant, then you know, nobody wants to play anymore.
So they're essentially striking against...
Who's they?
The guys who run the game servers. They're striking against Activision because Activision hasn't kept Call of Duty 2 up to date and reliable.
Starting with Call of Duty, the... United Offensive, which was the update to the original, as well as apparently now version 2 of Call of Duty. It just apparently they're not keeping up with the security features. Online cheating, as soon as it starts to happen,
it kills the game.
You
don't want to play it.
The fun is gone.
So there's a manifesto. They've issued a manifesto to Activision. They said, I think this is fascinating. It's a whole new, the servers are going to shut down December 16th for 24 hours.
Just wait, unless goes up on dig.
You solve this problem. I love this. We will not be ignored any longer. And this is all in caps.
Caps.
Talk to us and help us to help you make Call of Duty series better. Desperate times call for desperate measures. This is Nathan Hale
you
stuff.
You have been warned.
You have been warned. Good Lord.
These guys need to get a girlfriend.
Give me cheat fixes or give me death.
Go play another game. Walk outside.
I like Elliot Spitzer. I'm liking Elliot Spitzer more and more.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Attorney General of New
York. Yeah, he's got a lot of nuts, that's for sure.
He's going after Sony. Now, Texas and California already sued Sony.
Spitzer realized that there's easy money in some of these things.
Maybe that's it.
And he's going for governor. State, you know, yeah.
He's going for governor.
That's what he saw what Giuliani did, you know, with all his
it's the classic route.
Yeah, in New York.
You become a crusading DA. Right. I think it's in totally. Batman.
Well, you know, Dewey, when he ran against Truman, he was the same. I mean, he got his way to running
reformer.
For president.
That's right. Well, I'm sure Spitzer wants to be president. It is unacceptable that more than three – I should do this in a Roosevelt voice. More than 3 weeks – well, I got the microphone.
I know.
I'll cut my ear. After this serious vulnerability was revealed, these same CDs are still on the shelves. During the busiest shopping days of the year. I don't know if Elliot Spitzer talks like
that,
but he ought to. He ought to.
You got to do the Roosevelt voice more
I strongly
often.
Urge all retailers.
Now you're becoming Kennedy.
So, get this. He said a group of investigators disguised as customers to local stores. None of them had any trouble purchasing these XCP copy-protected discs.
But Sony's shocking. Doing everything it
Sony
can.
Sony has really got a problem.
Isn't this interesting to watch a once great company just die on the vine?
I don't know if they're dying on the vine.
I think they're having nothing but trouble.
I think they're making just a lot of judgment errors over
and over. And over. And it's going to catch up. It's going to ruin the company.
What was it? The
you watch them start spinning off stuff.
The transition to digital formats, they just...
They didn't make
ignored
it. They didn't.
Ignored it.
You know what happened? Akio Morita died, right?
That's the end. That was the beginning of the end.
And that was in 98. Then they started buying movie companies and record companies. And
well, they bought that earlier. I mean, Sony started buying record companies right after they couldn't get the DAT and or the DAT thing. So that was like 91.
Oh, that's soon.
1991,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Morita was
but
responsible.
But with Morita in there, it was a different story. When these new guys took over, it's been coming. Now they got a British guy running it seems to be...
Howard Stringer.
Stringer seems to be clueless.
Used to be a network executive.
Yeah.
Well, what's amazing is...
Which just shows you, right?
There's so many places where they're so close to being successful, and they're snatching failure out of the teeth of success. I mean, the PSP, which is doing really well... If they opened up, if they opened up the Wi-Fi, just let anyone do whatever they want with it. Yeah. That thing would wipe out the iPod like 45 seconds. Because I'm sitting there able to just sit there and download stuff and watch movies.
They don't understand.
And they want to control it. And they want it.
They're control freaks. That's why the memory stick. They brought that thing out. I mean, what do they even want to control the? You know, if somebody wants to buy something, they. You know, as part of their product, they want everything to be their brand.
They're so close.
It's terrible.
Speaking of control freaks, you see what China's going to do? They're going to create their own DVD format.
Just because they can. You know what? I'd take money on that one. I don't think it's going to happen.
You don't think so?
No.
I think it might happen within their borders.
I don't think it will.
Yeah.
But, I think there's just too many roadblocks to it.
I mean, if
point.
You have that DVD logo in front of any product, you're paying to the DVD forum group.
So they just don't want to pay the money.
Essentially, what they're going to do is they're going to end up doing a deal where they get a better rate. This is typical Chinese.
It's just a negotiation ploy.
Okay, well, you're going to get nothing.
Oh, it's a profit deal.
There's money involved.
So you should do this one, Alex, because you're the one who launched this phaser. The U.S. Air Force has invented the phaser.
It is to blind people. You know, so it's not a. It's it is a. Yeah, it is a under the. It was a joint non-lethal weapons directorate.
What's special about that?
Wasn't there news for a while? There was news like that pilots were being blinded by laser pointers.
Oh yeah,
like the terrorists like were aiming laser pointers at.
Oh yeah. Well, at first they thought it was like some sort of tracking system for a missile launcher, but it turns out you can buy on the internet some are very expensive, but pen beams basically that'll go 70 miles.
Yeah,
and
really?
They'll cut through plastic.
What?
And light matches on fire. They're like modified.
Waz is totally into this. Waz actually, we're going to get Waz on Twitter in the next few weeks. But
that's close to a.
He showed my son, my 11-year-old son, how to mod a laser pointer to do stuff like that.
Overclocking it. Overclock the laser.
We'll get him on the show.
Make it on.
I think that this is the over the century. I mean, this is just the very beginning of the move away from projectile weapons and into
energy weapons.
Yeah. This is the beginning of that.
Because if I watch too many Star Wars.
That's going to be a complicated transition.
Where's my bullet?
It's going to be a complicated transition, but it'll by the end of the century.
Nothing works as well as a bullet.
Seriously.
A lot of AK-47s in the world.
We can't even get fuel cells in our notebooks and cell phones and
that's
whatnot.
Maybe
100 years from now it will be different, but right now a bullet still is pretty damn good.
Dr. Divix is back. I'm happy about that. This is another example. Open source movements can make mistakes too. The DivX folks, which created a pretty good codec. And they created Dr. DivX for encoding. And then about, I don't know, it wasn't that long ago, 6 months ago, they decided to kill Dr. DivX and come up with some lousy replacement. Everybody just bitched and moaned. So the open source community has taken over Dr. DivX, and it's out now. So drdivx.com. And
how's it compare to Xvid, which is what all the kids use?
Xvid is a nightmare to encode.
Is it? Really? I mean, it's supposed to be DivX, right? Isn't it just supposed to be open source DivX?
Yeah,
no, it's a German version. It's got less features, but it's supposed to be more compact.
It has a very loud and very loyal verbs.
Of the set-top DVD players that support MPEG-4. Xvid works perfectly with those, and it's really
Xvid encode you will.
I've looked at some stuff on Xvid, and it's like, wow. I mean, I'm stunned by the file size compared to the quality. I mean, the quality is tremendous, and the file size is nothing.
Yeah, it is
the new goal
amazing.
For a lot of the stuff I see online for like your widescreen TV shows.
Mega Minute.
Or they're putting two onto a single recordable CD, so it's 350 megs for an hour show.
Yeah, I know. Wow. That's why I got. It's amazing.
And it still looks pretty. And they're starting with HD feed.
It looks
and then
terrific.
Reducing it. But.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
An HD feed, and they put it on 350 megs, and it's like you look at it, you go, "Holy
job.
Macro!"
But you're getting some of those Mac breaks down to a pretty small.
We hover around a mega minute for the Mac breaks.
But that's H.264.
It's H.264,
and one of the reasons is because it's a lot of screenshots.
Yeah,
right?
The more screenshots you have, obviously, the H.264 gets really, really efficient. There's a lot of ways to make things more efficient. And that's one of them.
That's a very pretty.
A lot of people still don't realize that how much CPU power is involved to decode H.264, the full advanced video AVC version of it.
Right.
Just a lot of people are like, oh, why is it 2 frames a second on my PC at home? Well, it's like your PC's a piece of crap and you need to upgrade. But
MPEG-4 can be the same way.
That's how you really feel.
When you start scrubbing is something that a lot of times.
Are you talking post-processing filters or?
No. When you're jumping around, moving around. MPEG-4 a lot of times won't like that on a slower machine. It'll really start to slow down and chunk. So they're all of them. You know, that's what you're going to pay for it somewhere. It's either going to look good or it's going to need more processing power. And so that's what you're
going to have two of the three, for. But not all three.
We're going to wrap this thing up. Remember to look for the what?
I want to have my Christmas gifts.
Let's not forget. Alex is going to play Secret Santa.
So there were some people requesting I got a couple emails of people requesting, will DV Garage, you know, put some coupons out for the Twit Army. And so so we decided to go ahead and put one out. So we have two, and we'll put them in the show notes.
Patrick's doing that right now.
We rarely put any public sales out. So it's kind of, you know, we have a DV Garage list of about 100,000 people, and those are the people who usually get all the sales. And this is even deeper than that. So if you use Twit Army in the coupon code on the DV Garage site, you'll get 40% off.
Wow, that's great.
You know, anything there.
So those are training CDs?
There's training discs. The ones that I think a lot of listeners are probably most interested in are the Photoshop discs. So, I mean, I have some training stuff that I did on basic Photoshop and how to key, you know, how to remove people from stuff. And so anyway, that's 40% off. Also, for the Pixel Core, which we're going to be doing tons of podcast training, Photoshop training, super high-end film training over, you know, all through next year. If you use PXC Twit, you'll get $125 off. So normally it's $200 for 3 months, and
that's
so it's $75. So it's over 50% off.
Wow, that's a great deal.
So so anyway, if people are interested, that's our Christmas.
We're giving them
our Christmas
away.
Cheer. So
and I'm going to have Twit hoodies at our meetup, which you're going to be at the meetup, right, Alex? December 15th in Toronto. Mm-hmm. You guys, if you want to come to Toronto, December 15th is a beautiful time of year.
Oh, yeah. As long as you stay underground.
They do. They have an entire underground.
Yeah, I know. I've been down
the path.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah. But we're getting some more Twit hoodies, and I hope we'll be able to get those also on the Twit store. We're launching productions like crazy, so we're going to triangulate this week. And then MacBreak is soon. We're getting to work on that. We're going to start doing some MacBreak minutes to kind of start warming up for MacBreak, which is our 30-minute TV show, internet TV show about Macs. Do you want to announce anything, Patrick Norton? Digital Life TV?
Still DL.TV. Still doing it.
Oh, is it DL.TV as well as DLTV.com?
Yes. It'll work as DL.TV or DL.TV.
It's very smart. That's very wise.
I must plug the Dvorak.org blog.
Please do.
Do you get no spam?
Dvorak, generally.
Okay.
Yeah, how is that
going?
Is it still
no pop-ups? No, I still don't get any spam, but I get, you know, the blog gets spammed.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, Dvorak.org/blog.
Spam it.
Don't spam it. It gets plenty of spam.
What else? Anything else we want to thank? Any plugs you want to do, Robert?
I'm pretty good.
Say hi to your mom.
Hi, Mom.
Your hairstylist?
That's my buddy Jeff.
I lost
the
bet. So.
Yeah, I thought so. Surprised they didn't make you carve your name in it.
Number two clippers.
I was going to say.
The number two attachment.
You look kind of like Drew Carey.
Didn't you tell him, I'm on TV, dude?
I'm on standard def. I can get away with a lot of
There was actually an outcry because the baby mullet disappeared. There were some people that were very upset about that.
I might let it go.
Anything's better.
After a year, my hair gets mullet. I can go for a year without cutting. Better.
I want to thank the folks at AOL Radio for providing the bandwidth for this and, of course, putting us on their podcast channel at AOLmusic.com. Thanks again to Bob Heil. Did you enjoy your microphones, boys?
They're delightful.
I'm going to have to listen and find out.
Yeah, we don't know yet, do we?
No, this is a crapshoot.
We want to talk to Bob about making a special Dvorak mic that's notched between 200 and 400 hertz.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Well, you with a big diaphragm like this, I probably, like you said, don't
you
need
may not
it.
Need it.
Yeah.
Robert and I are like, yeah, notched. Yeah, that's important.
It is if you have a lavalier, I'm telling you.
You got a notch between 200 and 400. If not just lavalier, you have to have a special kind of voice like John has.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That'll do it. Anything else? God, it just feels like there's something else we wanted to talk about, and I just can't remember.
We'll talk about it next week.
Okay, we could do that. I know. I won't be here next week. But I'm going to be going to do Regis and Kelly.
We'll do a Skype.
I'll give them your best.
Did you want to ask people about the enhanced version?
I do. We're going to have a poll on this. Now, this is an interesting issue because currently we offer this podcast as an MP3. That's the main feed. You can go to the BitTorrents and get AAC, or you can get, you know, Ogg Vorbis or a lower bitrate MP3. But there is a format that works with iPods and iTunes called Enhanced AAC that allows you to do chaptering and images and links. And it's really a great format for, you know, incorporating show notes into the podcast. And I'd like to offer it that way, but the problem is it's not MP3, it's AAC. So should the main feed be Enhanced AAC, or should
MP3.
We should stick with MP3. It, yeah. And then offer a BitTorrent version of the enhanced, or if we can talk AOL into it, maybe they'll let us do two HTTP feeds, main feeds. One.
I think
AAC.
Eventually you move toward that kind of stuff.
What I don't want to do is cannibalize iTunes and have it split into two feeds, because you'll get half this. You know, then it looks like you're a smaller podcast.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We like being in that top five day in, day out.
Right, and it sustains.
Another podcast has accused us of cheating.
What do we do?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'd
how
like
you
to find out.
Who would choose this?
Maybe we can use this trick.
If we were good at cheating, all my podcasts would be up there. I haven't figured out how.
We should experiment.
They claim that we're telling our Twit Army to unsubscribe and resubscribe regularly.
I think all you have to do is just keep on subscribing.
I've never heard that.
We've never said that.
And well, you know, folks, now we know. Do it.
That would be another reason to go to Enhanced AAC.
It sounded like all you had to do was just hit the subscribe.
Yeah, that was a bug, but I think they fixed that bug. It's certainly not as volatile as it used to be. Yeah.
Hey, we tried on DLTV and see what happens.
Inside Mac Radio.
How do they do it?
I think
I should believe they can't say they're not number one.
That's Inside Mac Radio.
I think it
Does
was.
I
didn't hear it. It's Scott Shepard's a nice guy. I know him very well. I've been on the chat show before, and I didn't even hear this. But somebody told me that they were.
It's probably one of these guys trying to make trouble.
You know, it's funny. I mean, they're already, now that podcasting is kind of growing, it started very collegial and friendly.
Yeah,
and
now it's already
a little bit of going on.
It's
going
to get worse.
Well, look what Adam Curry's been doing, you know, with the Wikipedia. Yeah. It's just the beginning.
Well, it's also ironic because, you know, iTunes is such a, I mean, it's such a strange metric that they're measuring, but people are like.
And nobody knows how they're doing it. In fact, I think it's Mac Observer swears that they're caching their podcasts.
Yeah.
And Apple says, no, we're not. The only times we've ever cached is when the podcaster specifically said, please do, because I can't afford the bandwidth. And we've occasionally agreed to do that. But why would they cache podcasts? It would just cost them more money. I don't know.
All right, we're done.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to wrap this thing up. I just can't. I like this mic. I don't want to stop.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Taking the mic home. He has a small bassinet for it.
Another twit. I can't stop. Is in the can. Owns his own. Now, how do they figure out how rich Willy Wonka is?
He had to read all these books.
It doesn't say in the book.
More converted to dollar amounts.
Oh, this is converted to $2.
Willy Wonka.
I got to blog this.
Okay, number 9.
Cool. Thurston Howell III.
Oh, yeah.
He was richer than Willy Wonka. Lovey, make me another martini.
The great Bruce Wayne.
Oh yeah, stately Wayne Manor. Yeah.
And number 7, Jake Clampett. A lot of oil.
How do they know how rich Jake Clampett was?
And then if he says somewhere that he has 100, somebody they have to convert from 1960s to now. And
Texas like, tea. Yeah,
guys who watch it.
Six is Scrooge McDuck.
Scrooge McDuck. Well, he had a vault of money that he could roll around in. That's pretty rich.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. I'm number 5. kill the top 4. Yeah. See, I think Burns might be number 1. Okay, well, who's richer than C. Montgomery Burns?
Lex Luthor, number 4.
Lex Luthor? He's richer than Batman?
Yes.
Is he richer than Superman?
Yes, Prime Evil pays. Number 3, Richie Rich.
Just because he's named Richie Rich? How could you put Trust Richie? This is
don't
bogus.
Don't count the number 1 system. I want them to guess.
Number 2 is Oliver Daddy Warbucks.
Daddy Warbucks, very wealthy. Okay, the richest fictional character in the world, the Great Gatsby.
No. Not even top.
Okay. Aristotle Onassis.
Who's Lucius Malfoy?
Oh, he's in the Harry Potter series.
Oh.
How would they know how rich he is? It's not even real money. It's wizard money.
So you're never named the Harry Potter, so...
That's the muggle crowd.
Because we have children in the audience, we can't tell you how to work. You might be able to guess.
Oh, there's a hint. It's a fictional character. A naughty fictional character.
No, not at all. But do you have to think of it? Because it's just like a guess.
Oh. He's the richest?
Think about it.
He's got all those elves.
Minimally. All right, so we're out of here.
We're out of here.
So
that's
it. Broken?
This week. Dvorak, Kevin Rose, Patrick Norton, David Prager, Robert Heron. I got the Twit Army behind me. Microsoft poo-pooed it. They denied it, said no problem.
This is amazing.
This week in tech. Doing the twit, baby.